Well, good morning. Thank the Lord for the opportunity to be here with you this morning. I'd like to talk about seasons. And as in many other things, God gave us some really good examples in nature that help us to understand seasons in other ways. Appreciate your prayers. Maybe we'll start in Genesis, the first chapter, where it's the first mention of seasons. Genesis 1 and 14. God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven, to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs, and for seasons, and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven, to give light upon the earth, and it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also, and God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good." So God created, this is when he was setting everything up, and it said that everything he created was good. And at the end of it all, he looked at it, and it says that he saw that God said that it was very good. And, you know, we get our, he set all this up. You know, our 7-day week goes all the way back to the first week of creation, the way God set that up. And we're still doing that today. The whole world does it that way. Our months come from the cycles of the moon. And the word month has, it's an indication of the moon, I believe. And our year has to do with the way that the earth travels around the sun. It makes approximately one revolution every year. I think, you know, we have to have leap years and do it. And then there's some further adjusting that's required every once in a while to our 365 day year. Not very often. But we have all these cycles and seasons and things. And God set those in motion thousands of years ago. And they're still operating in the same way. We still have our 7-day weeks and all that. And it's the 7-day week is not based on something that God created in like the moon and the orbits and all that. But God set that up too. And then if you go to the 8th chapter of Genesis, after the flood, God made a promise. He said that he spoke this in his heart. It doesn't even really say that he said this to Noah, but evidently it was communicated somewhere because this was written down. He said in Genesis 8 and 22, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease." And so we can, this is something that we can bank on. I hear talk sometimes about, well, I'm not sure how they think we're going to prepare for it, but scientists say that one of these days that there won't be the same kind of seasons if we're not careful. The earth is going to overheat. We're going to all die, and we're not going to have winter anymore. It's just going to... I'm not even sure exactly what they say. You know, I believe that we need to be good stewards of the earth. I don't want to go and pollute. Just, you know, I used to not think anything about just dumping a bunch of chemicals and stuff in the yard or whatever. I try to be more careful about that. But you know what? It's because I believe that we're supposed to be a good steward of God's creation. Not because I believe that somehow we're going to all become extinct. Because the Lord said that we're going to have these seasons forever. until the Lord decides that the earth is going to be gone. And so if you ever hear somebody, children or young people, if you go to school somewhere or you go to college or whatever, and they try to teach you, well, you need to be careful because you might, the seasons might not be here someday. The polar ice caps are going to melt and everything's going to, you know what? I believe that we need to be careful. I believe we need to be responsible. I believe we need to be wise stewards of what the Lord's given us. But the seasons are going to be here. Because, you know, why? Because God said so. And so now let's go to Ecclesiastes. I've got a lot of scriptures to read here this morning, and I hope you'll forgive me. But I want to read these, and I want us, if you don't get anything else from these, from this morning, write the scriptures, the references down. You can go back and study it later. I want to get them in your head, though. Ecclesiastes, the third chapter. And we'll start with the first verse. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time of war, and a time of peace. You notice at the beginning there, it says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. There are many things that God plans for you and I to have in our lives. And He allocates a time that it's proper for that to happen. There are times when the Lord sees that it is good for us to laugh. And He sees that it's good for us to enjoy things. We read about that in the Sunday school. He said, rejoice in your youth. And all that. I don't know if we read that particular scripture, but enjoy the things that the Lord's given you. Because there's a time for that. And in that, there are things, you know, Paul said, I know how to abound. That, of course, and I used to look at that and think, well, that's just, I don't know exactly what I said, but it seems like you'd read that and you'd say, well, that's just because he had to counter the where he said, I know how to be abased. Well, of course you'd know how to abound. No, he was talking about something a little bit different. When he said, I know how to abound, you know that there are a lot of people that don't know how to abound. The rich man that Jesus said, that Jesus was talking about, and he said, I'm going to tear down my barns and I'm going to build bigger barns. The Lord gave him a time to enjoy the labor that he had profited from under the sun. And he had this, this wealth and this prosperity, you know, that came to him. It was a blessing from God. But he did not know how to handle it. He was not a good steward of it. And so he took that time and he wasted it. So when this scripture, it says to everything there is a season and there's a time to every purpose under the heaven. You know what that means? That means that everything that God sends our way, that He has purposed a time for, we need to make the best use of that as we possibly can. We need to do the most with it that we possibly can. Everything, we need to get all the good from it that we possibly can. When He said there's a time to enjoy things, well, let's enjoy them. And in that, when we're enjoying them, let us remember where it came from. And let us say, I think it was David that said, God is the strength. He said, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. He said some of those things in the good times. And he talked about that. And you know, those things carried over to where there were other seasons in life that were not so good and not so enjoyable. But there were things that God said, I want this season to come into this person's life. And so the people that wrote these things in the Bible, where they said, God's my portion forever. Well, God was still their portion in the times, in seasons of adversity, in the winter, in the night of their life. And so Ecclesiastes 3 and 11 says, He hath made everything beautiful in His time. Everything that He has made, He's made it to where, just like God looked at all the seasons and the things that He made, the sun and the moon and the stars, and He set them up for seasons, and He said, this is very good. So it is with our lives. He gives us seasons in our lives. He doesn't just make everything one long season in our life where it's all prosperity or it's all adversity or it's all joy or it's all sorrow. He made seasons in our life. And you know what? He looked at it in our life, in your life and mine. He gave us a path, and in that He looked at it and He said, this is very good. This is very good for this person. This is the path that I want them to follow. And we can take that and we can make it worse for ourselves, or we can make it where we can get the good out of it that the Lord wanted us to get. You know, the Lord doesn't take us on a path where we're going to have things that are not proper in their place and in their time. He sends things into our lives just when we need them. I think about the time in Exodus. It's in Exodus chapter 13. And 17. You know, the Lord had some seasons for the children of Israel to go through, and He had a path for them to go. They had just got out of the land of Pharaoh. And they were just about to cross the Red Sea. And you know, the Lord led them that way because He didn't want, there was another way there that was closer, a shorter route. And the Lord said, no, I don't want to take them that way. In Exodus 13 and 17, it said, it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. You know, the Lord, we don't have to ever worry about, you know, if this comes my way, am I going to be able to handle it? The Lord is going to give us the times and the seasons. You know, they had battles to fight. It wasn't as if the Lord said, well, no, I'm going to shelter these people. I'm not ever going to let them see war because they just can't handle it. They're not the type to handle it. No, He knew exactly where they were. He knew who they were. He knew their hearts. He knew their strengths and their weaknesses, their abilities, everything, their experiences. He took all that into consideration and He led them exactly the way that He needed to go. They were going to fight later. And they did fight. Not too long after that, I think. But you know, they weren't ready to fight. But they were ready for the Red Sea experience. And they were ready for the things that the Lord led them through. And they went into different seasons. They had times where they would camp at really good places. They had palm trees and all that. And then there were other times where they were out in the middle of the wilderness. And they had to trust God to provide them for their food. And they didn't, a lot of times they didn't do a really good job at those things. It said that they tempted the Lord because they said, is the Lord among us or not? And so the Lord led them through all these different seasons. And He was preparing them for the time that they were going to go into the land of Canaan. And then we know what happened. They stayed 40 years longer than the Lord designed for them to stay because they couldn't enter in through unbelief. And you know, we can take seasons in our life that are particularly hard sometimes, and we can blame all that on the Lord and say, well, look what the Lord led me through. Well, sometimes the reason it's prolonged is because of unbelief or whatever in our hearts, and the Lord has purposes and paths to go on, and we just make it worse. So may the Lord help us today. In the 21st verse of Exodus 13, it said, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people." You know, it would have been kind of hard for them to go any other way when the pillar's moving that way. And they could see, you know what, this is the way the Lord wants us to go. It's so obvious, this pillar there. And so they had to go where the pillar went, because that was the way the Lord was leading. They didn't know where they were going. And you know, you and I don't know where we're going either. We don't see the things up ahead. We don't see the battles up ahead, but we know that the Lord is always right. And so as they had to follow the Lord, so we do too. And that only comes by a lot of prayer and a lot of seeking and staying in the Lord's will and doing everything that we know to do to follow the Lord. And when we do that, He's going to lead us times in places and seasons that we might question in our minds. But as the Lord said, it was very good to lead His people or to create the seasons. So He has created seasons in our life. Let's go to Psalms 23. I think we heard some of this in the Sunday school this morning. I'm surprised at how much we heard in the Sunday school that goes along with what I have this morning. I thank the Lord that he knows what He wants. He prepares us all. Very familiar scripture. Probably one of the first scriptures you ever learned as a child. Yes. It's a Psalm of David. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." So that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? I want to lay beside the still waters. Be able to jump in if I want to. Wash myself. Be refreshed. Get a cool drink. I want to walk in the green pastures. And a lot of people just want to stay there. But David describes seasons in Psalm 23. He said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Well, that's no green pasture. That's no still water. This is a time that the season has changed. It's something that's radically different. But he said, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." And I think this is another setting altogether. This isn't the valley of the shadow of death, necessarily. It's not the time of just being on top of the mountain. It's a time when maybe I'm having to stand my ground. Maybe there's ideas and false things that are opposing me. Maybe there are ideas that are coming and I don't know how to come against them in my mind. And I'm like, "Lord, if you don't help me here, I'm going to be overthrown. I'm going to be swept away." And David said, in those seasons, the Lord sets a table right there in front of my enemies and helps me through those seasons too. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You know, we kind of have, if you look in nature, we have seasons within seasons. The shortest seasons that you might could think of are day and night. Those are seasons, if you think about it, real short ones. We have day, and it's way different than the night, isn't it? Jesus said, "I must work while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." And he was talking metaphorically there. But I don't really work at night either. When night comes, it's time to think about winding down, getting rest. You know, there are times in the day that are not really proper, things that are proper to do in the day that are not proper to do in the night. When it's day, I go and I go to my job. I work. I provide for my family. I fix things that are broken. I do look at my to-do list. I do all those things. At night, Night is the time for rest. It's a time to recoup that which was lost by my body during the day. You know that we need all of those things. We need a proper time to work. We need a proper time to provide our living. We need a proper time to teach and to help our children and do all those things. And then there are times when we get to the end of the day, and a lot of times get to the end of the day and my body and my mind are both so tired, and I feel totally exhausted. And you know, the Lord designed a time where we lay down and we do absolutely nothing for hours. In fact, we're unconscious in a way. And the Lord designed for all that. There are people that try to short circuit that, and they try to make most of their life be the day season. And they'll work and they start when it's way early and they work all through the day and then they work up into the night and then they try to lay down and sleep for about 4 hours or whatever and then they get up and go again. You know, the scripture said that there's a time and a season, a time for every purpose. And so when he said there's a time for every purpose, then that means that we need to try as much as we possibly can to allow the proper time to do the purposes that the Lord designed us to do. He designed for there to be rest. When people don't get their proper rest, their bodies don't work right, do they? We get diseases and we get things and we have difficulties to deal with. But when people take the proper balance, then most of the time their bodies are able to function better and for longer. And we have things, the other side of the scale is that there are people that they try to make most of their life be what I would call in the night season. They're slothful. They're lazy. They don't do the things that they're supposed to do when they're supposed to do them. You know, that has adverse effects too. And so the Lord wants us to be balanced and consider what we do. So we have day and night. Those are the shortest seasons we have. But then we have other seasons too. We have here, we live in a climate where we have four very distinct seasons. Down where Andrea used to live in Honduras, it's not so much that way. I've been down there in December and gone swimming in the ocean. You can go down there and the weather's warm and just about all the time. And I made the comment, I guess after we got married, boy, I hate winter. And Andrea said, I don't. Because when I lived down there in Honduras, I really got to missing it. And so she loves the snow and all that. And I have to go to work in it a lot. And so I don't appreciate it quite as much. But we all have seasons. That we have seasons. And you know, the Lord made them that way. I was reading about the seasons a little bit. You know, I was reading about snow, and I'll just read to you a little bit of what I copied and pasted off the internet. Both rain and snow contain nitrogen that plants need, but snow by its nature provides a better delivery method. Nitrogen attaches to snowflakes as the snow falls through the atmosphere. In addition, nutrients are slowly released into the soil as the snow melts. This is especially effective early in the spring when the ground is thawed, allowing nature... Something I missed something here, but it says that it... somehow it didn't copy correctly or I deleted a line or something. But it says that snow provides a gentle fertilizer boost to plants. And then in another place it says that it's an excellent insulator of the plant, of the soil and plant roots. It protects them from extreme cold. And you read about mice and they take advantage of it too. You have up in the Arctic, you can have 5 or 6 feet of snow on the ground. And it seems like that everything is just a barren, dead wasteland. Well, there's a lot of life under that snow that's protected by the snow. The snow protects them. The mice will make little tunnels and they'll run under the snow. You can see, I've seen videos of foxes that take advantage of that. And they, God equipped them with incredible hearing and whatever. How I don't think that scientists even understand exactly how they do it. But the foxes will get up on, they'll be on top of that snow that's all got a crust on it that they can walk on, and they'll tilt their head one way and they'll tilt it the other, and they're listening for those mice down in the snow. And then they'll take a jump as high as they can and come back straight down. And they said that sometimes they will punch down, go down through 6 feet of snow and come up with the mouse in their mouth. God made it so incredible. I've seen them do it. I've seen it on the videos. I've seen them do it. And God made all of that to where it's good. He made the snow where it protects the plants and the ground. He made it where it fertilizes the soil. He made the cold where we have the trees that are not evergreens here, and the cold and the day and all the cycle of the seasons is a signal of when for the trees to drop their leaves. And then all winter it looks like they're just dead. And you might look at them and think they're dead, but they're not dead. They're very much alive. And they're going to come alive. And you have the cold and the winter and the snow and all the winds and the elements and everything. So we have that season. And then we have the spring that comes. That's the season we're in right now. And I think spring is possibly my favorite season for several reasons. For one, because it's the farthest season from winter. And two, all the things that come out, I just love seeing the greenery and the new life and all of that. It makes me excited. I love the smell of freshly mown grass and all of that. I love the hay, the cutting of the hay. It's a smell that takes me back to when I was living in a rent house near Crab Orchard when I was 5 years old. But you know, we have seasons in our life. And you know, we have seasons in nature that are longer seasons even than the winter. They say that, I can't even verify this, but scientists say that the earth undergoes longer cycles than just our four seasons. That the earth is warming up right now. And it's not just because of what they call climate change or, you know, from pollution and all that stuff. But back in the 18, they said that it started warming around 1850. And before that, a lot of the temperatures through here were a lot colder. And you would have heavier winters and greater snowfall and all of that. And so we have seasons, and the Lord designed all of that. And He said that it's good. There are seasons where these cycles are several hundred years long. And so I don't know what you think about all that. But you know, I would like to go to Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter. First verse, Ecclesiastes 12. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, when the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. I feel like, you know, just looking at the way that life is, we kind of have seasons in our life. When you're young, I'd like to compare that to the springtime. We've got people in here, a lot of people, probably the majority or a great percentage of the people in here are in that season. You have the springtime of your life. It's the time that you plant things. It's the time that you set your courses. It's the time that you decide what you're going to be. It's the time that you form habits and relationships. And this is the season that the Lord said to remember your Creator. This is the season to say, this is the way I want to go. Because there are seasons, other seasons that come after this that are more difficult. You know, they say that in real estate, the time to sell a house is in the beginning of the year. Or not just the beginning, but when things start budding out, because it gives you hope and the whole mood of everything changes. You don't have the gloomy winter days. You've got the spring and everything's coming back alive again. Well, the Lord lets us have these seasons in our lives, and He gives us the season of time when everything just seems like everything's new and everything is, we young people feel like they have the world by the tail and they're so strong and they can do anything. It's not always going to be like that. You know, I'm 36 and I am not as strong as I used to be, and I don't have the same amount of endurance, and I can't learn things as quickly as my children can learn them. I can't memorize things as good as I used to. I can't do anything as good as I've passed the prime. I've passed the prime, and I know that, you know, I think they say for a man the prime of their life is 29. I'm 7 years past that, and I can feel it. I can feel it in my body. I can feel it in my mind. But when you're young, and all the good things come, and you're able to go out and do anything you want to, and it's easy to make money, and it's easy to lift things, and it's easy to do things, and it's easy to make you watch your ideas come to life. God said, in those times, those are the times that you need to be planting the seeds. Those are the times that you need to be plotting your course. Those are the times that you need to recognize who enabled you to do all that. And look at the goodness of God and get a good foundation and say, this is from God. And this is what I want. And don't waste it. Don't waste it, because that season is important. It's the time for you to set your course and to get things in order. Then you have summer. And summer isn't really the time for planting anymore. It's the time where things had better have been planted, because summer's hot. At least it is here. And if you wanted a good yard to enjoy, you better have planted it in the spring, because if it didn't get planted, you didn't have the type of soil, maybe the gray, you tried to plant it, the grass died, then you know what you're going to have? You're going to have a summer with lots of hard soil and erosion. And if you didn't plant the right fruits in the garden in the springtime, then you're going to deal with a lot of weeds, because weeds grow just fine in the summer. And you're going to have to battle things that maybe if you would have planted the right seeds in your youth in the springtime, you don't have to battle so much. I'm speaking to the young people right now, because and the children, because I want you to understand how important this is. You have seasons in your life, and they're important. The seasons change. You have, it says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, when the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. If you're a youth, you can't hardly even imagine that such a type of day would exist. But then you have the fall season. That's no time to plant. It's a time to reap. Everything gets golden. The wheat gets golden. The crops get harvested. Things that you planted come back in a much greater yield. Who would ever expect that you planted the same amount of seed as you're going to harvest? Nobody does that. Nobody expects that. I think the rate on a grain of corn is several, on one grain is maybe several thousand fold. And it is that way with many other different types of seeds. There's a time of harvesting. It's a time when things are, people that are in this stage of life, we might call those the golden years. They're still able to do things, still able to even to make changes in their life if they need to. And you know, God's merciful, and He will follow us all the way down through life. But there are things that if you don't implement when you're young, oh, it is so hard when it's old. And the older we get, the harder it gets. And the times of our life that we are planting, we're going to see those seeds again. And they come back in a much greater measure. The things that we implemented, everything that we plant, we're going to reap. The scripture says that. And so we have a song that says, soon you shall gather what you now scatter. Unto your life give diligent heed. What you are sowing surely is growing. That which we reap shall be as the seed. And so if we plant things in our lives, in our children's lives, and in our business, in our day-to-day activities, we may plant those things with abandon and think that that's the last I'm ever going to see of it. But those things are going to come back one day. We're going to see results from it. Good results and bad results. So what kind of seeds are we planting? What things are we sowing? And you can sow things late in life too. But then you have the winter. And you know, I look at people, before we talk much about winter, I see people that have gone before me that are in the fall of their life. And some of them I look at and I say, what a blessing that this is. Look at the harvest they're reaping. Look at the good things they're getting back. And it took generations for it to get there. There are other people that I look at that are in that same season in their life. And I say, how do they even live? How are they even able to function? How can they live with themselves? It doesn't, there's problems and turmoil and things, the fruits everywhere that you look that are bad and poisonous and things. And when I see people like that, it makes me many times, I stop right there when I'm thinking about it and I say, Lord, help me to plant the kind of seeds now. Because I know I'm going to see them again. I know I'm going to see them again. Everything that I'm planting, I'm going to see again. In the same way and in a whole lot greater measure. So, let's go to the next season. You have the winter. And in the winter time, it's a very difficult time sometimes. Things die sometimes because the winter's hard. Scripture says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, when the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. If in the spring and the summer of our lives, if we have developed a pattern of not trusting the Lord, not depending on the Lord, not being thankful for the good things, being selfish with our lives, the winter comes. The winter will come to everyone. It comes to you. It comes to me. The winter will come. And I'm not just talking about, you know, I've kind of laid out our lives in the four seasons, but you know, it doesn't always happen just like that. We may have several winters and several summers and several springs and several falls in our life. We have times that the Lord, that we're on top of the mountain, so to speak, and then we have times that we're down in the valley, and then we have times that we're reaping things that we sow, but then at the same time, we may be planting more things. And so I don't want to just put our life into four boxes. We have different seasons that we go through, and we can go through multiple ones in our life. But if we have spent our time not remembering our Creator in the sense that this talks about, then the times of the winter that will come, and they will come, we're not going to survive. I have seen people before that lived in a half-hearted way toward God for years. And I knew it. I knew it. I watched it. I could tell. And then they got into the winter of their life. And everything fell apart. Everything fell apart in their spiritual life. Things, it was just awful. And then I have seen other people. I have seen other people that go. I remember watching my grandpa. He was 77 when he passed away. And I remember seeing him. And I remember growing up watching him plant seeds. He planted them all my life. He planted them in my heart and he planted them in his own life. And he was thankful and he was kind and he worked on himself. I saw him struggle with his humanity. And the Lord led him through all kinds of different seasons. He had some very tough times in his life. And I didn't realize it as much then as I do now. And he met those things like a man. And he faced them with courage. And the Lord helped him walk through all those things. And he had a winter in his life. And it was at the very end. And he probably had more than one. But I watched him go down through the end of his life, still full of victory and peace and joy. And he didn't get to the point where he threw it all away, because it was the very thing that kept him through the winter. That's the kind of winter I want in my life. My son was telling last night about the in World War II, the Germans went to invade Russia, broke their treaty with them, and went. Hitler was determined that they were going to conquer Russia, so they went into Russia, and they had more power. They had an impressive army, they had strategy, they had all this stuff, they had weapons and nearly unlimited resources. You know what they didn't count on? The winter. They had their German winters, and so they knew something about winter, but they weren't prepared for Siberian winters. They got in there, and they discovered they weren't dressed for it. Their tanks, they get out to start their tanks in the morning. Tanks wouldn't even start. Ran on diesel fuel. Lock up, wouldn't do anything. Their weapons would freeze. Their food would freeze. Everything. The Russians, who didn't have nearly as great of a military engine as the Germans did, were well prepared for the winter. And so they sent the Germans home packing. You know, a lot of times, you know, what I gather from that is that a lot of times life, we plant the seeds. The Germans should have stayed right where they were. They shouldn't have gone into there. I feel like a lot of times that we can head in directions that's not good. And the Lord will send us warnings and say, don't go there. Don't do that. And we think that we can handle it. But things come that we don't count on. And anyway, I believe that the Lord wants us to stay. The Lord will lead us where we need to go. The Lord led those Israelites. So if we go to the previous chapter of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth, and if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there shall it be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not weep. I used to think that these were just kind of all unrelated bits of wisdom. But there's a common thread that runs through all of this. You know, the Lord wants us to do everything we can in the season that we're in. He wants us to take advantage of the time and not squander it. And you know, the trees don't know when they're going to fall, do they? But they lean a certain direction. You know that you and I, every single one of us, are leaning in a certain direction. Some of us may be leaning toward the Lord. Some of us may be leaning away. And we don't know what time that our tree is going to fall. We don't know when the time is going to come or there won't be any more opportunity for us to do anything. No more opportunity, whether it's, I'm not just talking about our life ending. I'm talking about opportunities. Opportunities to influence our children. opportunities to help our neighbors, opportunities to do good in different situations. There's a time when all of those things, when the season, the window of opportunity, the tree falls and it's past. And we don't have it anymore. And then it says, he that observeth the wind shall not sow. And he that regardeth the clouds shall not weep, or shall not reap. People that wait because they're... there's another scripture that's similar. In Proverbs 20, we won't turn there, but it says, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. But that's the time you're supposed to plow. That's the time when you're supposed to plant. Therefore he shall beg in harvest and have nothing. I have seen so many people that got to the harvest time in their life, whether it's where in the elderly part of their life or in a time where in a different time where they're reaping seeds that they sowed or reaping things that you know that you're always sowing seeds. The person that says, well, I'm not going to plow, I'm not going to sow seeds, you're sowing seeds. Just not the kind that you should be sowing necessarily. And I've seen people that have gotten to that time in their life where they're reaping some of those things. And they say, well, where'd that come from? I didn't plant that. I didn't do that. I didn't. There's nothing I don't have. And they isolate themselves from it. Or they wonder, why am I not getting this? Why don't I have the respect that I should have? Why don't I have this and that? And why am I not getting these results? I want to tell you that there is a time to plant. There is a time to do things. And if we shirk our duties, the things in our own families and say, well, I don't want to talk to my children about this because it's awkward. I don't want to do this because it's difficult. Can't bear to go here. And so that's hard. You know what? We're sowing seeds when we do those kind of things. We need to do the things that we're supposed to do. We need to plant the seeds when we're supposed to plant them. We don't look at just because it's tough. So what? So what if it's tough? You know that it says the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Well, when does he think he's going to be able to plant? He's going to get to the harvest time and his life's going to be a shambles. And so it says, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he regardeth the clouds shall not reap. And then in the sixth verse it says, in the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand. For thou knowest not whether shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. You know, there's a lot of times when I do things, and the Lord has inspired me to do this, and I want to tell you, I have not always done this right. And the Lord still has to deal with me, but there are times when things take a long time to grow and mature. But you keep doing the things that you feel like. Don't just try to grow the quick stuff. Put in the things, the principles in your life, in your family's lives. Sow the seeds the way that it teaches in Scripture without trying to see, well, am I getting a result from this or not? No, you just keep doing the right thing. And you're going to go through seasons. You're going to go through day seasons. You're going to go through night seasons. And you're going to go through times where you're tempted to just give up altogether. Well, I'm not seeing anything from this. No, you keep on doing what the Lord has told you to do. And one day, it says, in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. So it says, in the morning, sow thy seed. And in the evening, withhold not thy hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper. You know, we don't have all the control over what's going to happen with the seeds that we sow. But we have control of whether we sow them or not. And so let us sow the seeds and the right seeds. And not be afraid of the tough times or in the seasons in our own life that would cause us to say, I don't want to do that. Truly the light is sweet, and it is a pleasant thing for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. You know, and I've got a lot more that I could, I feel like I'm just running out of time way too fast. We might have to revisit this again. I was going to comment just a little bit about night. Listen to this that I read about night. Some plants grow differently in dark and light. For existence, if given plenty of light, rhubarb will grow a small stem and lots of leaves, but they're unedible. You can't eat them. If you give them light all the time, rhubarb is, it's a crop, isn't it? It's something that you want to be able to get something from, get a return. If you give it light all the time, it's got to have some light. But it says in the dark it will grow much longer stems very quickly. So quickly, in fact, you can hear it grow. I'd like to see that. There were some videos that you could watch, and I didn't watch them, didn't have time. But then another writing here that I copied here, it says, some plants need darkness in order to flower. The darkness triggers the flowering reaction. Otherwise, they grow, but they don't flower with 24 hours of light. Experiments have been done that show all this, that shows how important it is. And it's actually, it's not the day. It's not the day that, listen to this. Interestingly, it is the continuous length of the darkness, not the length of day, that determines this. Hamner and Bonner's experiments in 1938 showed that shining light for small amounts of time in the middle of the night altered the behavior of the flowering process. The fruit is what we're supposed to have in our life, right? But the different seasons, we have to have those in there. However, covering plants during the day for small amounts of time doesn't affect the flowering process at all. Jesus said, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You know, there's all kinds of things that were written in Ecclesiastes 3. It says there's a time to laugh. And you know, take that time. Take the enjoyable times. Consider God in all of it. And it says there's a time to mourn. You know, I've known people before that when calamity happened, maybe a relative died or something, they try to just can it, bottle it up, and they try not to mourn. They try to just kind of push it. You know what? There is a time to do everything. We need to be able to heal. Sleep. The nighttime is when we heal. Do you know that? It's when our cells replenish. It's when things. It's when our cells grow. And people that go for years and years getting not nearly enough sleep, They suffer for it in later years of their life many times. I used to not get enough sleep, and I still don't get as much as I want, but I'm getting better, and I've realized that I need more, and I'm way healthier than I was 15 years ago. It says there's a time to mourn. They had it. It's interesting to me that in the Old Testament, the Jews had periods of mourning. And they had this time that they would set aside, and that's what they would do. It would give them closure, and it would provide a time for them to grieve, to process it in their minds. Sometimes I feel like we need a little bit more of that. That we need to maybe allocate a little more time. We had two relatives that passed away last year, my uncle and Andrea's grandpa. And both times we were there with the family. We were there for days. People brought us food. And we'd sit around, we'd eat the food that people brought, and we'd reminisce and discuss things. And it was a good time. That was part of the mourning process. And sometimes we would say something that would trigger our emotions, and people would cry. You know, that's a good thing. It's part of life. The darkness, the night, the times where we walk through the shadow of valley of the shadow of death, those are good. Those are good things. Let them come. Get the good from them. Let them linger. It says that weeping may endure for a night. You know, maybe I'll just read that whole chapter. Psalms 30, maybe not the whole chapter, but we'll start in verse 4. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. For His anger endureth for a moment, but a moment. In His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, and joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. See, this is a man that in the spring, in the season, in the right season, he had established some things in his prosperity, but then other seasons came. He said, Lord, by thy favor, thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide my face, and I was troubled. But see, he had already set some things in his life where it kept him through those seasons. And those seasons are good, and we need them. All of them. All the seasons we need in our life. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. Anyway, it goes on and it said, what profit is there in my blood? And hear, O Lord, have mercy on me. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. And we'll read one more verse, one more scripture before we quit here. And it's in 1 Peter 1 and 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it may be tried by fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Do you notice where it says, if need be? You're going through a season, if need be, of manifold temptations. I have marveled at seeing the seasons go by in my life. And I've had times where I felt like I was on top of the mountain. We got a song about that, don't we? Life is easy when you're up on the mountain. And then it says, then things change and you're down in the valley. And I've had times where it just felt like everything is just shining. The sun is shining. The weather's good. And then here comes the clouds and the rain. Do you know that those times we need? We need those times for many different reasons. I don't even think I could enumerate all of the reasons. But just as God looked at his creation and the seasons and said, it's very good. So he looks at our life and says, these things are very good. Is it because he's cruel or sadistic? No. It is all meant for us, as it says in Psalms that I just read, to the end. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded with me with gladness to the end that my glory may sing praise unto thee and not be silent. He wants us to go through the seasons, all of them, and to be able to come out of them and realize how great the Lord is and what he's brought me through and how it profited me and how it turned to good for me and everybody else around me. He wants us to see those things. And so let's let those seasons all exist in our life. You pray for me.